Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with jazz bassist Mark Wade on the 2026 album New Stages, done with his trio. This project, out on Dot Time Records, marks not only a new album, but a turning point in his creative evolution. It's a moment where his past innovations meet his future ambitions. This is a collection of new, original jazz works inspired by treasured classical music that he has forged a deep personal connection to over the years and that he is delighted to now bring forward in a new format. Mark Wade is a modern composer with a global perspective, and he is giving the world another gem of an album. We first interviewed him back in 2018, then 4 years later in 2022, and now, 4 years later in 2026, we're on the presidential timeline. We are exploring a new project. It's always great to catch up with Mark. Enjoy this interview. Mark Wade, what's up, man?
How you doing? Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. I was just looking at our history together, and it's like we're on a four-year cycle. It's like we're on a presidential cycle.
It's been working out that way.
Yeah, it is. It's like it was 18, 22, now 26. So hopefully when we look back on all of this, we won't age like presidents. Although the first one was just audio. So I think we can just pretend like we were teenagers then. So it's all good. How's everything going?
Man, it's good. It's great. You know, new album being out is great. You know, got off a tour from Europe, which was great. Concerts here are kind of wrapping up for like the release stuff. But yeah, no, life is good, man. No complaints.
So the name of your album after our last meeting in 2022, New Stages, seems to be completely apropos, because I believe at that time we were still somewhat knee deep in this pandemic. I mean, it was that whole back and forth. There would be a variant. We'd be like, yay, we're coming out of it. Yeah. And then it was like, nope, not so fast, pal. Come back in. So there's a level of New Stage that seems to be relevant. And it's interesting, because I remember during that time that I was just like, I can't wait to talk to everybody a few years after this happens, to kind of be like, all right, we're back. There's live shows. There's music. My mailbox is filling up again with CDs. Like, it's great to see all of this. So my question to you is, I know it's been a little while, but how good has it felt to just kind of be able to be free and to roam the world and to do what you natively have always done?
It's great. I mean, It seems so long ago, you know, that happened, and yet it really isn't. You know, it seems like a lifetime ago, but it's only a couple of years. In the grand scheme of things, that's not that much. Yeah. And it's funny, because I kind of found myself asking myself that same question just recently. You know, I was over in Switzerland, the UK, for some concerts, and you know, you don't think anything about it now. And I remember the very first time I was overseas to promote, like, you know, myself, my own music, when it was my thing, was right before the pandemic happened. It was in February of 2020. I was in the UK. It was like early February. And like 2 weeks after I got home is when all hell broke loose. And so it's just interesting, like, you know, the perspective of before that, you know, all of the mess that was those following few years till now. It's an amazing change. It's great to think that it feels like it's so long ago. And yet, you know, you don't want to take it for granted, because, you know, that was a pretty rough stretch.
Yeah, it certainly was. Well, and we've entered this whole other phase of America right now. This, you know, we're in war, this war on immigration. Things are just really, really strange. And I think now more than ever, people probably need the arts and music and jazz to have some level of escape, whether it's a recording on, you know, streamed or on album or live. Mm-hmm. How much of what we're living through is pulsing through the way that you're delivering and creating today?
You know, I think you're always affected by what's going on, whether you were intentionally or unintentionally trying to do that. You know, just because your album isn't trying to make a political statement or a social statement doesn't mean that you're not affected by that thing when you're working on it. I always feel that, you know, in times of strife and whatnot, I think back to like 9/11 in New York City, how there was like that kind of angst or that kind of anxiety sometimes can be an impetus to really like take a step forward with things. It kind of pushes you to be better, maybe because you feel like time is of the essence, or, you know, the fragility of life, however you want to kind of phrase it. Those things can kind of push you to get a little more active and to feel like, well, now's the time, because you never know, you know, if not now, when.
So this new album, New Stages, as you've kind of dictated, and even the way that the sound of this album is kind of this turning point for you. It's kind of this meeting of innovations and different things that are going on. Talk to me about going into this project, what your overarching vision was, and just how it feels on a visceral level to have this creation out in the world.
Two different questions. I'll start with the second one first, and that it's fantastic to feel like it's out in the world. Anytime you make an album, for me, there's almost a certain kind of like extra urgency as like in the process of, giving birth to this thing, to like, going through the process of writing and recording and mixing and mastering and all the things that you need to do to produce an album for people to actually listen to, in their homes. When it's out, it's such a tremendous relief. It's just such a it just feels so great to have it, be out there and be available. So that's a wonderful feeling. But even doubly so for this album, because this project has actually been about 8 years in the making, believe it or not. New Stages is it's an album, about a double album worth of material that takes classical music that I really like and kind of reimagines it and reinvents it for a jazz piano trio. So this is just music that I've come across over my musical travels over the years. I play classical music as well, so sometimes I'm hearing this stuff in the orchestra. Sometimes it's just stuff that I happen to hear, in other places that have just impacted me or moved me in some profound way. And I always said, well, I want to do something with this stuff, but I play in a jazz piano trio. What am I going to do with this stuff? About 8 years, I took a Chopin piano piece. That was just a for solo piano. One of his waltzes, one of the lesser known ones, and I turned it into this jazz, crazy jazz arrangement that was go went from a waltz to an up-tempo jazz drum feature, and kind of went all over the place. And I thought, well, this is really interesting and it's creative, but I'm not really sure what to do with it. I don't know where it fits in or what to do. And over the years, I would find something else and write something along those lines. And eventually, like, it kind of dawned on me that I was slowly but surely putting together a project like this. And in the interim, I wrote music for two other albums and released two other albums. But now finally, the music for New Stages is out, and so it feels good to do it, 8 years in the making.
So it came out on March 27th, and I'm always curious, what do you do for release day? Do you have a ritual? Do you what happens on that day? Because that's a big deal.
Well, that day I woke up in a hotel room in Hitchin in the UK, north of London. I was just finishing up a 10-day tour of Switzerland and the UK to support the release of the album. And so the actual release day was my last day in the UK, the concert that night, and I flew home the next day. So I didn't really have much of a ritual other than trying to figure out where I could find breakfast and get ready for the sound check later that day. For me, there's, people don't see how much goes into the actual release of the album, so that the release day is one of many days that feels like a ritual. The most rewarding part of that ritual for me is generally once I've finished mixing the album, because then the music exists, like it exists in the world, even if nobody else knows about it yet, I do. And I can hear what the final project is. So once the album is mixed, to me, that is the most special day, shall we say. But the release day, of course, is very special because then you know it is out there for everybody else. So it's for me, it's always a series of events that get you to that release day and beyond, really.
In America with jazz, it's like jazz radio has always been kind of something that's been specialized or pigeonholed. It's not, obviously, as you very well know, we know, it's not a big popular thing like other stations. But in Europe, it's a different organism. When you go to Europe as an American and present your music and get immersed in the electricity of those live environments, it's a different organism, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's really interesting. You go over there and it's not that you're just the American, you're the American from New York. And
Right.
that's the thing that really people, oh, New York and New York jazz, like that's really, it is a connection. Going over there, just saying that you're from New York doesn't mean that they immediately give you the keys to the kingdom, but it does actually turn some heads. It does open some eyes, and it gives people to take a second look at you for sure. That helps. So it's great. It's it's too bad that we don't have that kind of reception here in the country that actually created the art form right. in the first place, right? Like this is the one true like contribution to like world art, you know, it's Gosh. Truly uniquely American jazz music. And you do sometimes find a better reception everywhere else, but here at times. But it is great to go over there and see that reaction. It's you know, very rewarding.
Yeah. Well, I hear that from Kansas City musicians when they go over there and mention Kansas City. There's sure. instant street cred because
sure.
there's just a lore. And New York is the biggest place, will always be the biggest spot in the world, the epicenter. So it's interesting how those things will happen. Somebody was telling me, I think it was Mark Sherwin, was telling me that in China it's really developed. It's really, really gotten big over there, which is cool. You know, because I know that the Japanese and that Asian culture mindset, it's like the Beatles, like jazz musicians are like the Beatles coming over there to America, yeah. you know.
I remember one time playing in a big band, Pete McGinnis's big band, and we had a gig at the Blue Note in New York. And if you've ever been to the Blue Note, you know that the stage isn't super big. And to get a big band on that stage, you have to like, some people actually almost have to sit off the stage, you know, to have it work. So we're playing this jazz brunch at the Blue Note, and the horn players are maybe about 7 feet away from this like group of Japanese tourists that came and sat down. And I'm thinking, they're not gonna enjoy this. I mean, it's a big band, it's loud, sitting right in their face. And it was just the opposite. They had tears running down their wow. face. They were so happy that they were there, you know, to see jazz in New York City. So yeah, the response from other places is a little bit different.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, by the time you release an album and the media is talking to you about it, it's you've created it, you've edited and produced, you've listened to it so much that you need a detox, and now you're kind of moving on to the next thing. So when mm-hmm. you are at this opportunity where you're talking about it and reliving it, is it nostalgic? How do you process that, and how does that fuel become energy for your next project?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, particularly in this case, you know, if when people ask me maybe about certain songs or whatever, I mean, it really is nostalgia because it might have been something I wrote 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. So I've been kind of living with this music for so long. It is kind of fun to talk about it. A lot of times for all my other albums, this is the fourth one I've done. For my other ones, like you write the music and release it, and it's a little bit more contained than an 8-year process. So usually by the time I get to this point, I am ready to move on. I've heard the music a lot. We've played it a lot. We've performed it a lot. And you want to do something new. You want to keep things fresh and keep moving forward. I mean, this one has been a little bit more enjoyable to linger on it a little bit, just the size of the project. I mean, it's really almost a double album of material. So just looking back at it, just kind of an epic effort, you know, on my part just to bring it over the finish line. So it's fun to talk about it, but I'm always thinking about what's next. For this release, I signed with Dot Time Records, a great label that's both here and in the States. And we're in discussions about maybe me doing a live record in Germany next year. So we'll see, that's kind of in the works. So that would also be a first for me. So I'm already kind of thinking ahead to that to see if that works out. And depending how things go, maybe even a follow-up to this record. So we'll see.
Yeah. So I'm curious. I've been kind of asking this lately of musicians, especially veteran musicians that have been around and really have a good beat on what modern jazz has evolved to. Mm-hmm. If for some reason, in some odd way, Miles Davis was brought back and he listened to what was going on in modern jazz today, how do you think he would feel about the evolution of when he left back in the late 80s to right now? What do you think he would be happy with what's happened?
Well, it's really hard to say. I mean, the mind of Miles Davis is a pretty amazing place.
Right.
If you look at Miles' career, like, you know, what makes Miles such a legend isn't just that he was really great, is that he was great in several areas and several genres. And he was always kind of reinventing himself. Whether it was, starting out playing like bebop with Charlie Parker up until like, getting into the 80s where it's like Marcus Miller and the electric thing. And it's, not even, quote unquote jazz related as far as where he came from, like what an amazing, arc of a career that is. So one could only assume that he would have wanted to continue on that path of reinvention and creative projects. you know, as far as what the state of jazz is today, I mean, it's a loaded question. It's always hard to pin down because it's easier to see this stuff in retrospect.
Yeah.
Every generation always thinks that, you know, there's always a look back, say, oh, well, the young kids don't have it, or this is not as good as it used to be. And I don't know if that's always necessarily true. I think it's a little hard to pin that down. I hear lots of great young players who are doing creative things. So you know, what the state is of jazz today, I think it's always in flux. You know, the jazz world, someone once asked me this during the pandemic, says, well, what's the jazz business like? And I said, well, the jazz business is like a wooden cart that's rolling down the street and it's on fire in the back and one of the wheels is a little loose. You're just trying to make it to the end of the road in the best of times. And during the pandemic, it was not the best of times. So things were a little rough then. I mean that a bit tongue in cheek. There's always a sense of instability because it's the nature of it being, like you said, a niche genre. It's like it's a little bit more of a niche thing, so it maybe doesn't have the support as popular music. But in that instability, out of that crisis comes the opportunity sometimes to push yourself and come up with something really interesting and something new. So
sure.
I think that's the state of jazz. If anything else, that it's, you know, always a little bit unstable, but always always creative, you know,
for
and
sure.
always kind of moving forward.
So if anybody wants to pick up a copy of the new album or download it, is Bandcamp the best place or .time?
Yeah, Bandcamp is great. You can, if you go to dottimerecords.com, the album is up there. You can also get it from my website, which is markwademusicny.com. And if all of that is too much to remember, I'm pretty findable online. If you just Google me, Google my name, I come up pretty high up in the Google search engine these days. So there's a way to get it there. The album is currently available digital and on CD. However, it will be out on vinyl in the fall. There's going to be a second release in the fall here for for vinyl for this, which is really exciting for me. My first album that comes out on vinyl. So if you're an audiophile and you have to have that true, you know, vinyl experience, I promise you every detail was put into this album to make it sound as good as possible. Recorded at one of the best studios in New York City, and a lot of time went into mixing it. So you can watch for that too.
I love it. I will make this easy. I will put all the links in the show notes. Mark, it's great to catch up. At this rate right now, it'll be 2030. So hopefully we'll be past the clown show we're living through and it'll be tamer times.
I hope so.
I'm looking forward to a news cycle where it's absolutely uneventful for weeks and we all can just cry because it's so relishing. But at any rate, it's great to catch up with you. Thank you so
Likewise.
Much for the music and the time. And we will see you down the line.
My pleasure, man. Look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in New York, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Mark for his time and cool. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.